We had people messaging us saying, how can I donate money to the show? Or can you start a Patreon? Or do you have anything I could buy? Because you've already helped me so much with your podcast. And that's when we know we had a business. I don't want to stop doing this. I get on the phone, and before I could say a word, Adam says, F that. We're going to keep going anyway. Let's record new episodes. We have a pretty good reach. I'd say the show ranges between 6 to 10 million downloads a month. The YouTube channel, lots of impressions. I'd say one of our channels has 3/4 of a million subscribers. Wow. The other one is at close to 400,000 subscribers. That's the podcast. Wow. Our revenue streams, largest is our programs. Second would be sponsorships. And then we have after that, like affiliates and stuff like that. Our conversion rate is the best, hands down. And it's because our audience trusts us. They trust us because we've been so selective. Yeah. And we don't bullshit people.
Obviously, you listen to Build Your Tribe because you're trying to figure out additional ways, additional streams of income to build and grow your business and to build and grow your social media. And if you haven't figured it out already, one of the best ways to make money on all social media platforms is with brand deals. I'm not talking about like the old school style of influencer where it's like a person getting ready with their makeup and they're just absolutely perfect. No, I'm talking about people who are super authentic and real, and they're just like the person next door, and that's what makes them very believable. Brands want to work with people who have trust with their audience. They don't care how many followers you have, but they're not going to come looking for you. That's a misconception. You have to go to them, and you have to do it in a way that shows them, yeah, I might not have any previous brand experience, but I understand this. I understand what's going on, and you send them the right kind of pitch. There's actually 8 different steps involved, in my opinion, that are almost guaranteed to get you the kind of deals that you're looking for. And I'd be happy to share that with you. All you have to do is go to shalene.com/get a deal. And when you go there, shalene.com/get a deal, you'll enter your email address and I will send you back a complete report, like the 8 steps you need to do to secure your first of hopefully many brand deals. Again, shalene.com/get a deal. How do you climb to the top of the charts in a very competitive category for podcasting? That's what we're going to talk about that today, as well as partnerships. Listen, everybody and their brother has a podcast, and standing out is becoming even harder. Like, it's so competitive. Today, we will be speaking with someone who has climbed to the top of one of the most competitive categories, health and fitness. I will be speaking with one of the hosts of the show, Mind Pump. The Mind Pump podcast is dedicated to providing truthful fitness and health-related information. The guys are raw, they're real, they're sometimes shocking, they're always entertaining. The hosts are Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, Justin Andrews, and of course, I don't want to forget their fourth partner, Doug. Together, they have a combined 50 years of fitness experience as personal trainers, club managers, IFB competitors, thought leaders, and business owners. Get this. They have 10 million downloads a month. The show regularly ranks in the top 10 for Apple Podcasts, and the show has over 170 million downloads. All right, let's get to it. So you are absolutely the team. All 4 of you are absolutely killing it in the podcast space. I just am blown away by the success you guys have had. Tell me about what you think really catapulted the show. When did you start the show?
2016, I think. About 2016. Is that right, Doug? When did we start the podcast? 2015. Sorry, 2015. So I'm off by a year. So 2015 is when we started. We
all met. And has it always been the same format? All 4, well, actually 3 of you on camera, 1 off camera.
Yes. And it wasn't camera at first. It was just podcast. We added the camera a little later on. I mean, we're just as blown away by the success, to be honest with you. We love it. We absolutely love doing it. And I think I'll speak a little like kind of generally on the success, and then I'll get a little bit more, I guess, granular. But overall, we honed our skills through training everyday people for years and years and years and years. And what you learn as a trainer, and here's what I mean by that, because people think, oh, you learn how to exercise, you learn technique and all that stuff. No. When you get good as a trainer, what you really learn is how to communicate fitness. Mm. This is what you really learn. Like, how can I get Mrs. Johnson to take these steps and to adopt these new behaviors forever, right? So here's a silly example, right? When I was an early trainer, I used to get this a lot, right? Like, you know, I don't have a lot of time to work out. I have kids and a mortgage and a job, and so I just don't have a lot of time to dedicate. And then what I used to say is I used to do this, like, motivational speech about there's only 24 hours in a day, and what you make of those hours is up to you. And if the more you dedicate to exercise, the more time you'll have for other things because you'll have more energy and blah, blah, blah. And that's all true. But it wasn't a very effective communication strategy. Later on, I just said this. Yeah, it sounds like you're really busy. How much time do you have to dedicate? And then whatever they gave me was the right answer, and we would start there. And the reason why that was so effective was because I knew if I could get them in once a week or whatever, that if I did a good job, that they would themselves want to do more. So that's just one example.
Meeting people where they are. And totally. I think that you guys do such a freaking unbelievable job of on the show is you're not speaking to trainers. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. Even though you guys all are former trainers, you're speaking to the person who needs your help. Like the person who's wanting to learn this. And so you're meeting them where they are. Like, I love that you guys have such reasonable and honest advice.
Yeah, well, we had to figure that out because for years we sucked. We were terrible trainers in the beginning. We had to learn. And we were all passionate. One thing that we all have in common, because my co-host and I, we didn't work together, okay? We worked in the same industry, but we didn't work together. No, I didn't meet them until we started the podcast.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that was true. But we all trained people for a long time, and we all have a deep passion for helping people. So we all had to figure out how to get people to be able to do this forever. How do I communicate this? How do I communicate nutrition? How do I communicate all the intricacies? And so what does that look like? Okay, so I'll tell you some elements, and this will make sense. If you listen to our show, this will all make sense. As a trainer, if you really want to be good and you want to be effective and you want people to show up and see you week after week, month after month, year after year, they have to want to come see you. So a big part of what you do is not fitness, it's conversation, it's fun, it's entertainment, it's how can I be a chameleon and talk to different people, and wow, people are interesting, let me ask you some questions and all that stuff, right? So if you listen to our podcast, the first half is us talking about current events, family life, things that don't have anything to do with fitness, because those are the conversations that we had with our clients. And then we throw the fitness in at the end. Or, you know, when I would train my clients, there was when the opportunities would arise, that's when I would drop the fitness knowledge and the bombs or whatever. And it just, you know, that's one piece that we learned. We learned what worked, what didn't work, how to communicate it. And that's kind of what shaped the show. And then there's some stuff that I can't necessarily put my finger on. Like I said, I didn't know Adam and Justin. I knew Doug beforehand, but shortly. But I didn't know Adam and Justin, my co-hosts, until really we started the show. And we just all had this great chemistry.
That's what I was going to say. That's why it's so surprising to me.
Yeah.
That you weren't friends beforehand.
No, like, I mean, we all, for lack of a better term, fell in love with each other. Like, look, we're all very different. If you get to know us, you'll see that we're all quite different. But my co-hosts are very dedicated to integrity. So that's deep for us. Like, we won't compromise that for anything. We all have a deep passion for helping people. So what's going to help people is always at the top. We all love a challenge. We all learned through training people that if you want to get better at something, you got to practice it often. So that's why we do five. People are like, why do you do five episodes a week? We started five episodes a week because we knew how bad we were at media, and we knew if we did more episodes, we would get better faster. So we just did a lot of them to get better faster.
So you've always done five?
We started with three, and we very quickly moved to five because we wanted to get better quick. Just like practicing an exercise. Like, the fastest way to get better is to practice it often. So we did that right out the gates. And then my co-hosts and my partners are just, they have some skill sets and some things that are very complementary. Like, Adam is a business savant. I mean, the guy, when it comes to business, is just, he's brilliant with it. Justin is so stable and so confident and so secure. And he's also so likable. Justin is so likable. Yeah. And Adam and I can be a little polarizing. Him and I have the big mouths, right?
Is there any other show where there's three personalities on the mic?
I don't know. That's a good question. Aware of?
I don't think so. And there's a couple where there's two. I mean, not a couple. There's a lot of shows where there's two hosts. I can't think of another show where there are three, really, hosts who are on pretty regularly. And from the beginning, was the idea to launch the podcast as a business, as a moneymaker, as a hobby? Like, what was the goal from the beginning?
The idea was for it to be a business, but we didn't monetize for a year. So we wanted to provide so much value. We wanted to prove that we could create that value and that we could create some authority. Mm-hmm. And after about a year, we had people messaging us saying, how can I donate money to the show? Or can you start a Patreon? Or do you have anything I could buy? Because you've already helped me so much with your podcast. And that's when we know we had a business. But we didn't do anything for a year.
Was your plan to monetize it in terms of advertising your own programs? Or was it you thought you would get advertisers? What was the play?
The first workout program was created before Mind Pump ever started. So I created that with Doug. So Doug was a client of mine. That's how him and I became friends. He approached me after about 6 months of training because he was a fitness fanatic before, came to work out with me, got better results than he'd ever had before. And so he said, he came to me and he said, Sal, if you ever want to sell anything online, let me know. I have some online sales experience. And that's when I created the first workout program. And then we made the whole digital program. It was the first time I was on camera doing the sales pitch and the presenting the program and all that stuff.
Okay.
And we had that all packaged and created, but I didn't have any online authority. So then the next strategy was, I mean, I had authority in my local area as a trainer, but on the internet, like who I'm, and I'm not like a bodybuilder. I'm not some like crazy looking whatever. And I don't want to go down that road either. So how do we create authority? And podcasts came up. Like a podcast would be a great way because you can explain yourself and people can hear what you know. And so that was a bit of an idea. I had known of Adam before. So him and I never really met, but we had friends in common. This is really weird now. At least on 5 separate occasions, I would have people come up to me and say, you need to meet this guy named Adam. Like after the third time, I would be like, let me guess, Adam? And they'd be like, yeah, how'd you know? I'd be like, this is so weird.
Wow.
And the same thing would happen to him. People would come up to him and say, you got to meet this guy, Sal. You got to meet this guy, Sal.
Okay.
We never met. Well, anyway, I had remembered him. And him and I had started communicating on Facebook for something different. Just long story short, I had a family member that was battling some really bad chronic illness. I had done some research into cannabinoids. Those are the molecules found in marijuana.
Sure.
At the time, Adam had actually started the first medical marijuana clubs here in San Jose. He'd left fitness for a second and done that. And so him and I were communicating about that. And then I created the first workout program. And I said, you know what? Adam was in the fitness industry forever. Everybody keeps telling me I got to work with this guy. He's very blunt. And that's Adam. He'll tell you straight up, you know, kind of like you. Like you're very honest. He'll tell you. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I messaged him and I said, hey, I created a workout program and I made a digital where you could follow it and all that stuff. I said, would you mind giving me your advice, like your opinion on it? And he says, yeah, absolutely. So I sent it to him. He called me back the next day and he's like, we need to meet. He loved it. He's like, we need to sit down and meet.
Wow.
And so then we all sat down and that's when I met Justin. And this is when the chemistry kicked in, right? We all sat down.
Wait, when did the third person, I understand how you and Doug knew each other. How did Justin come into the picture?
Justin and Adam. So Justin and Adam had worked together in the fitness industry. And then later we're trying to do other businesses together. They were trying to create this fitness app. They were investing in and trying to work. So they knew each other through that.
All right. So there was also some business history there between the two of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So Adam and Justin and then Doug and I were kind of like.
Okay.
And then.
Okay. This makes sense.
So then we sat down. This was at Adam's house. And this is when the chemistry was like a thing. Like we sat down and we had a 4-hour conversation. Like you ever do that? You meet somebody and you just like, oh, this is like, I feel like I've known you or we're having this great. So we all.
Pretty rare though to sit down with 4 people and feel that way about all 4.
Yes.
It's pretty rare.
Very rare. So we had this wonderful, stimulating conversation. All of us had the same ideas about the fitness industry and the direction we wanted to go and what we thought we could do and what it got wrong and what it got right.
At the time, were you working still full-time in fitness?
At that time, I had just sold my wellness studio, but I was still training clients.
Okay. When did you give that up?
Gosh, it was when we monetized. As soon as we started monetizing, like we all very quickly did better than we were doing with our other jobs or careers. And then we all said, okay, let's do this full time.
So people listen to the show. That's a question, that point where you say, okay, I'm going all in. I'm going to walk away from my whatever full time job, or maybe it's another business, different side hustle. My recommendation is always, it doesn't always have to be the moment when, you know, the new income replaces the old income. It's when you know it has that potential, when it has your full attention.
Agreed.
So had you already surpassed your income, or were you just knew that that was going to happen?
No. We saw the potential was there. Now, there's a little side note. Justin and I were already dads and married. Adam at the time wasn't a father yet. He was still, and so we had some responsibilities, so we were a little bit more careful. Had I not had those responsibilities, I would have jumped ship much sooner because you could see like this was going to become a thing. But we waited a little bit just to be kind of safe. Nonetheless, we still, I mean, we dedicated a lot of time to doing it even while we did our other jobs. But yeah, once we saw that, oh, this is a business, then that was it.
I've got a lot of questions for you regarding the podcast.
Sure.
And we have a lot, you know, I feel like most business owners now, most entrepreneurs, a lot of us have podcasts. So we're going to get into some of those, that secret sauce of why you guys have just exploded. But I also want to ask some questions about the partnership because I just think it's so unique and so rare. Like since I met you guys, I've told your story to so many friends who are entrepreneurs and they're like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, like they are four-way partners like in almost everything. Am I right?
Yeah, no, it's equal. 25, 25, 25, 25. Yeah.
It's so hard to do that with someone who you're married to.
I know.
How do you make that work?
It was serendipitous, I think, because look, I'm a serial entrepreneur, so are my partners. I would never recommend somebody do that. Like if somebody came to me and said, hey, I want to start a business. I want to get three other partners. All of us own it equally or whatever. I'd say not a good idea. Probably not going to work out.
Yeah.
We're also dedicated to winning that we don't care who's in the front, who's doing what. And we all know that. And I think maybe because we were older when we started this and we'd already done businesses. Like, you know, you ever watch those stories of like the band that takes off and then the lead singer all of a sudden thinks he's hot shit, wants to leave.
Yeah.
And then it breaks the band. Like, look, I tell you what, man, we all are so grateful for each other that, I mean, all of us have done something in this business that generated a significant amount of revenue that we did by ourselves and we split it with everybody. I mean, the book that I published, I wrote that. It's split four ways with my partners.
So was that something that you guys put into place in writing when you formed your partnership?
This is going to sound terrible, but well, okay, the business, yes, was four way, but a lot of it was just handshake and agreement and understanding. You know, when I first realized we had something special in that sense, I'll tell you this funny story. When we first started the podcast, we actually had another partner that was going to do it with us. And this gentleman, he had the social media following. None of us had a social media following. Adam had a small one, but this guy had a big one. And he was going to give us our like kind of our start, right?
For that exposure. Absolutely. Leg up.
We recorded 15 episodes. We were literally days away from launching the podcast. We'd done all this work, edited it, like, here we go. We're ready to launch this podcast. This guy, he had some sponsorships because he was in the bodybuilding kind of fitness space. And he sent the episodes to his sponsors and said, hey, what do you think? And they said, very entertaining, but kind of risky because we were very like, you know, the message was like supplements are going to change your life. They lie a lot. And well, these are supplement companies. So they said, yeah, we don't know how we feel about you doing this. And at the time he was making a little bit of money with sponsorships. He sends us a text literally days before we're ready to launch. And he says, hey guys, I'm sorry. I don't want you guys to release those episodes. I got to bail. So this was after like some significant work, months of work.
Are you suggesting then that you were going to be planning on being a five-way partnership?
We were at the time.
Wow.
Now, here's the serendipitous part, right? So I get the message and I'm like, damn, this is terrible. And so I immediately went into, okay, motivate and lead my team. This is just my mentality because we got to keep going. We have something here. So I literally, in my head, I'm like, this is what I'm going to say to the guys because we need to keep going. I don't want to stop doing this. I get on the phone and before I could say a word, Adam says, F that, we're going to keep going anyway. Let's record new episodes. I didn't even say anything. That was like the first time I knew like, oh, these guys are great. There's some other times too. Like, you know, we've definitely gotten into arguments and battles and fights about where the business should go. We always let it all out. Sometimes it gets loud. And I remember there was one really kind of loud argument. It's usually between Adam and I, we're the most outspoken. We got this big old debate, battle, back and forth. It was really uncomfortable for everybody, but whatever. We decided, whatever, we're going to go in that direction. I left. I called them up right afterwards and immediately we're like, hey, I appreciate that we had that. No hard feelings. This is the direction we're going to go. Let's do it. So whatever the idea is, if we all go in that direction, that's everybody's idea now, whether it succeeds or fails. That was another moment that I knew like, this is special.
I hate to overgeneralize, but like I see my husband or like when I watch my son play basketball and guys will shove each other and be like, you know, and then just like high five each other and slap each other on the butt when they walk off the court. And women, I mean, again, I'm generalizing, but it just sticks around a little longer and it's hard to forget. I just feel like partly that is going to make it a little bit easier. But there's got to be times where you have had disagreements and maybe even alliances form, and you have got to wonder, like, could there be cracks in the foundation? Do you have a plan in place?
Yeah, no. I mean,
could there be a deal breaker?
I mean, since we've done like the whole insurance thing, and you know, we've definitely organized the business the way you're supposed to, but that's never happened. It would be such a shock if something like that happened because of how we operate with each other. You know what it is? It's this overarching goal. And we talk about this often. Like, we do these live events where we meet our fans and they make us no money. They make us no money, but it grounds us. Every time we do it, it grounds us. And it's this overarching thing, which is, we're here to do this thing. We're here to help people. We're here to transform the fitness industry. We're doing a good thing. So that's more important than my feelings if my idea gets shot down or if they disagree with me. So we get over it and we just move forward. So, I mean, I wish I could say there was a technique or way to do that, but I've been very blessed with my partners because we all have that attitude. Like, none of us, we've never gone behind the other guy's back and said something or whatever. It's always, it's up front, it's everybody, we're together, and there's no questions. There's zero questions. It's like full trust, full steam ahead. And again, like,
it's like a spree to work.
Well, we've done things that I don't agree with. We've done things that my partners haven't agreed with. But when we agree to do something, if it fails, let's say we get in a debate and I say, I don't think we should do that. And they're like, we should. And I debate. And then they vote and then we're going to go in that direction. And then it fails. I don't sit there and go, I told you. It's now my idea. It's my idea now too. And, you know, I think you learn a lot more from your failures than you do successes anyway. So
we've had lots of partnerships, a variety of partnerships. I've always tried to avoid them because you learn from business mentors, they rarely work out in the long run. But it's human nature to have this natural bias that I'm doing more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, it's just human nature, especially when you're a type A and an entrepreneur. So there's got to be moments for each of you where you're thinking like, wait, I'm the secret sauce, or I'm doing more work, or I'm doing more lifting right now. And have you done that? And how do you have that conversation? What was your reaction? Were you thinking about a time?
Yeah, I mean, at any given moment or period or season in the business, somebody's doing that. But we all know our value. Like, there's no distortions for me that if I lost one of my partners, that all of a sudden, like, I don't need them, right? I think they all feel the same way. We're all very proud when we can contribute. That conversation's never happened. We've never sat down and said, I'm doing more. If anything, it's more like, I mean, look, I tell you what, there's a period there where I was doing, when I was writing the book and going on this like podcast tour, so happy that I could contribute that way. I felt so like I could do this for my team, you know? I know the guys kind of feel the same way, so no. And at this point, look, we've had conversations like this. At this point, if one of us decided to bounce, all of us are like, we've already done enough, well, we've earned our place. So you could literally F off and do nothing and you're still gonna get paid. Like, we all kind of have that attitude. So
that's remarkable.
I know, it's weird.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was in a partnership. His partner's married, he's married, and they just had to dissolve the partnership because of the spouses. And you know, it's not just four people trying to navigate. You're married, and I don't know what the rest of the guy's marital situation is. I think you said Doug's married, right?
No, but Doug has a daughter. You know what's the case? I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. Adam struggled with that at the beginning because I have kids, Justin has kids, Doug has his daughter, and we're all very family oriented. Our family is very important. Adam at the time didn't have kids, and he was very much in that, like, I'm going to work bell to bell, right, mode.
Oh, yeah.
And we were, especially me, because I had just gotten out of a divorce where dual custody, so the time I get with my kids is very limited anyway, where I was not going to sacrifice relationship with my kids.
That's
and
awesome.
I had done that in the beginning so much, like, not in the beginning of Mind Pump, but in my career, I was a workaholic. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. Adam struggled with it for a while, and we would talk about it, and you know, you could tell he's like, we got, you know, whatever. And he'll tell you now, like, it was a great thing for him because now he has a son and he loves it. And he's like, man, we do more working less than I ever did before. And it was a great, so his attitude about it is amazing. But, and he will publicly say it was a struggle with him, for him in the beginning, for sure. Because he was the guy that was, I don't have kids at home. I want to do this like bell to bell. Let's go. It's a great business. It's growing. He'll tell you, looking back, it worked out the way it was supposed to. That's him saying that now. So it's pretty cool.
This edition of Build Your Tribe was brought to you by Insta Club Hub. What is it? It is a membership. That means you log in and all of your lessons are there, but everything pertains only to Instagram. Full disclosure, we don't teach business funnels. We don't teach sales conversions. We don't teach email marketing. That is Marketing and Bat Academy. But if you're like, my social media is at the root cause of why my business isn't growing, and I know I need to master Instagram, well, you should check it out, because we are giving people amazing results, like insane results, because we really have a great time studying this stuff. So check it out. Go to instaclubhub.com right now, and we keep you up to date and current. You will grow your Instagram. I promise you that.
He'll tell you, looking back, it worked out the way it was supposed to. That's him saying that now. So it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Informing your business, your corporation, early on, had you defined each of your roles, or has that evolved as organically as a show?
It totally did. It evolved. Like, in the beginning, we did everything together. I remember there was a point there where we're like, okay, guys, we need to like divide, because we can't just, you know, it's like, you know, we can't always do everything together. It slows things down. But now it looks like I do a lot of the, I guess you could say I'm like the face. So I'll go on with the shows, I'll present us, I'll do a lot of the sales pitches, I'll put together a lot of the content or organize a lot of the episodes, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Adam, behind the scenes, he's the puppet master doing the business. He's out there. We have another arm of the business, Mind Pump Investments, where we have properties and angel investing. He's heavily, like, that guy brings opportunities to us, and then we decide if we're going to do it. But he does the research, and he goes out and he makes it happen. Justin, nuts and bolts, man. We put a program together. He organizes the shoot, the models, the date. Let's make it happen. Let's go. He's also very creative, and he can bring a lot of humor to what we do. Doug is he wears every single hat that exists in the business. He's the producer. He's very much in charge of quality control for the show, mm-hmm. both the video and the audio. He's got his hands in the, you know, with the editors more than any of us. He handles a lot of our banking and finances, but that all happened kind of organically. Wow. We all kind of just moved to what we did best, and then it just kind of worked out that way.
Well, it's remarkable. So let's talk about the show a little bit. Initially, you were just doing audio. When did you decide to do video, and what did that look like?
Oh, so we did audio at first because we had the audio equipment, and we initially started with a very small investment, and we wanted to bootstrap it. We didn't want to try and like whatever. So we did that, and then we said, you know, we should probably park some of our space on YouTube. It's a platform, it's growing. So all we did was we videotaped the podcast, but we didn't make it a show. So literally it was cameras on us, and we just did the podcast. It wasn't like, we're on camera, we're gonna make this a show. So we did that for a little while.
Okay, when did you start that?
God, that would have been probably 3 years in, I would say. So we've been around for about 8 years, about 3 years in, so. We also did a YouTube channel where we do like exercise demos and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we did that. It wasn't until about a year and a half ago, let me think, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, where we all sat down and we said, okay, let's put some time and energy into making this like an actual show.
Mm.
So we invested in studio lights and making it visually appealing. We hired an improv coach to come do improv with us before the
kidding. That's fantastic. I did not know that.
Yeah. So we wanted to get better, right? We want to get better at being on camera. So this improv coach comes in, does some exercises with us, teaches us a few ways to whatever. And then we bought better cameras. We in-house, one of our employees then took over the YouTube editing, and then we've hired staff to do that. And that's only about a year and a half, 2 years in. But the YouTube side is growing quite well. It's actually a whole new audience, which is really interesting.
Tell me about your success. I want you to brag.
We have a pretty good reach. I'd say the show ranges between 6 to 10 million downloads a month. The YouTube channel, lots of impressions. I'd say one of our channels has 3/4 of a million subscribers.
Wow.
The other one is at close to 400,000 subscribers. That's the podcast. Wow. Our revenue streams, largest is our programs. Second would be sponsorships, and then we have after that like affiliates and stuff like that.
And you're very selective about your sponsorships, aren't you?
Yes, because we represent them, but they represent us too.
That's right.
And I don't want to present a product or a supplement or something that my viewers or listeners don't get a good experience with. So, all right, I'll brag a little bit.
Yeah.
Our sponsors work with us, but they also work with other podcasts. And some of them work with big podcasts like Joe Rogan or like massive, massive podcasts. Our conversion rate is the best, hands down. And it's because our audience trusts us. They trust us because we've been so selective and we don't bullshit people. Like, you know, I'll give you an example. We work with a supplement company, great product, tastes like garbage, but great product. It gives you good results. That's what we said on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
And they got so mad too, by the way. They emailed us, you can't say it tastes like crap. And we said, wait a couple months and let's see what the conversion looks like. And then they got the numbers like, okay, go ahead, say whatever you want. It's working.
Love it. Yeah. You know, so I assume you're approached on the regular by agencies that want to bring multiple ads to you. Do you work with an agency or do you prefer it's one-on-one?
In-house. Adam really organized this and spearheaded that. And now his wife, who works for the company, manages that. And so she manages the sponsorships, the commercial cadence, how well we're doing and performing. She sends them clips of the commercials and gives us instructions on what direction they want us to go and comes up with ideas. And we have a very, very robust, comprehensive back end with that. So, and our partners appreciate it quite a bit.
I have to tell you, I mean, we speak to a lot of different agencies and they're regularly, you know, trying to bring us on board. And there's times where we have thought, okay, well, it's extra money, it's extra revenue, these, especially our back catalog, et cetera. But there is nothing in my mind that is more valuable in this space than trust. Yes. It's far more valuable to an advertiser that the show hosts have trust with their audience. That's far more valuable than the number of downloads you have or, you know, how long you've been doing this, how many subscribers. None of that's relevant if you don't have trust.
100%. There's this like industry standard for how much you're supposed to get paid per 1,000 downloads.
Yeah,
and we crush that because our conversion rates are far and above that. Because of that, it's because of the trust. And we will not break that. That's the integrity part that I talked about. Like, we've turned down a lot of money because something about the product or the people. This is a whole process, right? They want to work with us. We got to like the product and we got to see value in it for ourselves and for our audience. Then we meet the CEOs or the owners, and then we got to like them too. I don't want to work with people I don't like or people who are slimy or, you know, whatever. If we like the people and we like the product, then we'll work with them. But if one of those things is off, then we won't. And we've turned down a lot of people.
Yeah, that's incredible integrity. And I really do appreciate that you're sharing that with the audience. So you go to YouTube, you start doing releasing five episodes a week on YouTube. People are now, we know, statistically speaking, finding podcasts and discovering podcasts on YouTube.
Yeah.
So your channel's growing there. I assume that you're able to monetize content in addition to what you're getting just for the audio show, AdSense on YouTube as well.
Yeah, so this is good information for people starting a podcast. A lot of people, they think, I'm going to start a podcast and make all this money with sponsorships. You don't make decent money with sponsorships or ads until you're big. So now, this doesn't mean you don't have a business. If you're getting a couple thousand downloads an episode, you can sell your own product and you could do very well.
That's
so
right.
This is what we did for a long time is we just sell our own fitness programs. Now, we didn't start making good money with sponsorships and commercials until we got really big. Now that becomes a pretty good source of revenue. But if you got 1,000 people tuning in, because podcasts do convert really well if you do a good job because it's long form. Mm-hmm. You get 1,000 people tuning in, I mean, you could sell a coaching course or Zoom calls or whatever. I mean, you could do really well with a small, consistent audience and never have to do a single sponsorship.
Talk to me about the play on getting big name guests on the show. How has that or has it not helped the show? Like, do you get more downloads if you've got a top ranked name or somebody that's...
That is almost no impact to us. Mm-hmm. We built the show with just the three of us. And those episodes actually do the best. Now, we interview people that we want to talk to. And sometimes we'll get some people coming over. And we're getting better with our interview, I'd say, skills. I think now we're getting decent. But the show is really us. Although I will say this, just full disclosure, that is an area now that we're going to focus on is we want to get really good at the interview portion and get good at that. But right now our audience doesn't listen to us for our interviews. They listen to us for us. So we'll have a guest on and it doesn't really perform better than our regular episodes.
I can attest to that too. And although I think YouTube might be a little different in that regard, just because the algorithm is going to serve people up the content of that person if they watch another video with them. So it'll be interesting to see. In terms of before, in terms of audio on podcast, I think it was irrelevant. You know, the guests that I had on, because number one, I'm not going to ask them to promote it. You know, if it's someone who's really well known, they're on so many different podcasts. I can't, their audience doesn't care that they're on my podcast. You know what I mean? I don't want to bug them to do that. So it just was, in many cases, more difficult to schedule, difficult to, you know, do the research and the prep for the show. And it just didn't make much of a difference in terms of our downloads. But I think with YouTube, I may change that strategy.
Yeah, YouTube does, especially people with a YouTube presence, they might get more, like, you know, people coming over. But you know what's funny? When you're trying to do an interview and you want that interview to grow your show, if the person on your show has a tight, loyal network, that can often help. So like we had Bishop Barron on the podcast. Bishop Barron is a Catholic bishop. Mm-hmm. He's got this like social media, YouTube follow, great speaker. You don't have to be Christian to like what he says. He talks about like life. He's really good, answers any question. I found him and I put him on the podcast because I loved him. His audience is so loyal to them that he sent the episode to his audience and said, hey, check me out. And then we got this huge surge of new listeners from him, Bishop Barron. And a lot of people didn't even know who he was, right? But because he had his own following. So that's one. And then the second one is if you have a compelling podcast, that'll start to spin and you'll start to see more and more downloads come in. So like if you have a guest on that maybe isn't so well known, but it's a really, really good episode and they communicate something in a very effective way, and you'll start to see this accelerating with downloads. And then lastly, the famous person can help, but only if there's something going on with the famous person and you're the first person to get them. You know, like so-and-so just divorced his wife or whatever and all this controversy, and but he's on your show first. Then you may get, otherwise what they typically do is, like you said, they go on these like tours.
Yeah.
And they've been on 15 other podcasts talking about the same thing. It doesn't do anything.
Speak to the amount of, I guess, community and how community has helped grow the show. Or do you guys do things, you mentioned earlier that you guys do a meetup or sometimes hosting events for people who listen to the show. Tell me about your specific strategy when it comes to growing the show with community.
Yeah, well, we have a private forum that we started right out the gates. It's on Facebook. And anybody who bought a program would go in there, and it was a way for us to answer questions and to help with further coaching. That kind of turned into its own thing where now the members in there are all hardcore fans and they kind of moderate it themselves, and it's really cool. We'll pop in and answer questions here and there. Also, we're more concerned with engagement than we are with like views. So yeah, you could have all these followers on Instagram, but like how many of them are you engaging with and kind of creating that relationship with? So especially early days when we didn't have, you know, now it's so hard to manage because there's more people, but we were in there constantly answering questions and talking to people and trying to build that sense of community. And then the live events, we love those. Like typically what we do is we will organize an event, 100 to 200 people will show up. We tend to keep them around that size.
And do you do those all over the country or just local? Okay.
No, we did one in Colorado, Texas, obviously a couple in California. I can't think where else. We've done kind of all over, and they're great. They're a lot of fun. You get to meet people. You get to hear their story, how we impacted them. It's always really.
And how do you organize them at that event? What is it, just them getting to know each other? Do you have activities planned? Is there workouts?
No. Usually what it is like it'll be like a meet and greet. So they'll show up early. We'll talk, hang out, whatever. Then the event itself, when we get up on stage, answer questions, tell stories, have a lot of fun. Then afterwards, take pictures, hang out. Usually that goes on to late in the evening. And then we may do like a exclusive whatever where we take a smaller group of people and go somewhere and hang out. And there may be a dinner with a small group at some point, maybe the day before or something like that. So that's like the format that.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Both.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did those events impact your energy?
Oh God. While I'm doing them, I'm so energized. And then afterwards I'm so tired. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Anything else you, like, are you doing merch? Anything else that, you know, helps community identify with the show?
Yeah, we have merchandise, the programs, people will do that. We have a really strong community of trainers that listen to us because they listen to us communicate health and fitness, and then they learn from that and they communicate it with their clients. So they're actually probably our most loyal, I'd say, fan base. Like, we do these trainer events where we work with a company called NCI. Mm-hmm. They do online nutrition coaching certifications, and that is insane. We show up there and you're looking at 500 coaches and trainers, and they line up. They just want to talk to us, and it's like, it's amazing. That's really humbling. It really is. It's really humbling.
Yeah. And the merchandise, is that a big piece of revenue or something you guys don't do much with?
It breaks even.
Okay. Yeah. How about a paid tier? Do you have a Patreon or an exclusive place for people to
listen? We're going to, though. That was your suggestion. So we're probably going to record episodes that are much more uncensored, off the rails.
Yes. Only, you know, money.
Yeah. And so you convinced us of that. So we're going to pursue that.
I'm all over that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think your audience, I mean, that's a no-brainer, and it's so fun to do.
That's it.
Like, uncensored, you know? I mean, even as honest and transparent as you guys are, I'm sure for all of us, there's these things where you're like, oh, I can't say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you also know that when you're with your truest, most loyal fans, they understand, they have a sense of humor, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like the internet sometimes does not.
Oh, no, it'll be a good time. I mean, we're excited about, you talked us into it, and selfishly, we're like, yeah, we want to do that. That sounds like fun. We get to hang out and do another podcast and maybe have a few drinks. Let's do it.
Okay. And in closing, is there one piece of advice or maybe one thing that you wish you had done differently or had done sooner that would have made a difference for the show?
Yes. Build and nurture an email list. We did not do this soon enough. We were all stupid. We thought email was dead. And then our friend who has a supplement company and also sells books and stuff, he goes, you guys got to do email. And that is that was such a huge game changer for the business. So build an email list, nurture it, get them to want to read your stuff. And that is, it's like one of the easiest ways to market your products and services. Super easy.
Dude, you just ended the show with my love language. That was awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here as a guest on Build Your Tribe. I want everyone to make sure they check our show notes down below. Be sure you follow their podcast. Like, you guys, and in fact, I'm going to link to it. You guys did a podcast where you broke down a lot of just kind of the nuts and bolts, even talking about audio and equipment. And I thought that was phenomenal. Definitely not a normal topic for you guys. Usually you're talking health and fitness, but I think there's so much to learn from the way they're doing their shows. So be sure to subscribe to them on YouTube and, of course, wherever you're listening to your podcast. Sal, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Love you. You guys, you're great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your time today. It was awesome. I want to mention before we go, Sal's written an incredible book. It's called The Resistance Training Revolution. If you're getting into strength training, I mean, I know this is a business channel, but I find that a lot of entrepreneurs are also health-minded, fitness-minded as well. So if resistance training, strength training, lifting weights is something that you're interested in and learning about, I really think this is kind of like a 101 book, but it's so foundational. And again, great guy. You'll love the book. I liked it on Audible. Be sure to follow them on YouTube and, of course, subscribe to their podcast. If you're into health and fitness, like I said, I will link to the show where they really broke down the nuts and bolts of what they do to produce their show on one of their previous episodes. I think you'll find that really interesting as well. If you've enjoyed this, please be sure to double check and make sure that you are subscribed. Let me know what or who you would like to see next on the show. And as always, I just want to say thank you for being here. It's my goal to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun, and then be done. We're done. See you soon.